Dylan, I'm going to come back to you with another question in a minute, but I'm going to go to Ed now with a question. You identified pre-harvest and post-harvest marketing plan. How should a producer think of those together, or the transition, or are they two completely separate thought planning processes? Have you got any insights to share as one thinks between the two of those? Well,
I do, John. I do see them as two separate thought processes, but clearly they come together. They all go to the bottom line. The way you put them together really gets into the specifics of the pricing tools you use. I'll give you a simple example. If earlier this year one of our listeners had decided to use a forward contract on soybeans to lock in a new crop price, maybe a little better than today's, if they use the forward contract, that's sort of the end of the story, because that calls for delivery at harvest. If you had storage on the farm and you used a futures contract or bought a put option as an alternative in the spring to make a sale for new crop, those items don't have there's no forced delivery there. So you can transition from a pre-harvest plan to a post-harvest opportunity pretty seamlessly, taking your storage in. It really gets into the tools you use, the storage you have on the farm, and it's really about the tools pulling those two together.
Thank you. Dylan, we've seen a lot of volatility in grain markets. We'd probably, based on some of the forecasts, really like to see a little more going forward, at least the up. But this question is how do you see that volatility in grain markets affecting livestock markets moving forward? And you address this somewhat in terms of producers looking for the best, looking for good opportunities to price and source feed. But how should the producer build those aspects into their marketing strategy for the coming year?
Well, I think one of the things that the increased volatility on the grain has done is it has made feedlots much more cautious forward contract buyers. And by that I mean the last 2-3 years there was quite a little activity in the late spring, early summer months to forward contract cattle going into the feedlot. And in a couple of those years, those summer prices were much higher than the fall prices ended up being. That's not always the case. This year it appears that just because of the uncertainty of knowing where their costs are going to be, their grain prices, feedlots were much more cautious buyers. And really, if you look at most of those forward contract prices as kind of reported on forward video sales, I would say they were under the market in terms of looking at where the current grain price was and the current fat cattle price expectations. So I think one of the challenges going forward for producers, again, some of the forward contracting opportunities may not be there, and depending upon what you're planning for a retained ownership program, if you're basing it on current prices, whether those are current futures prices or current cash prices, the only way to ensure that those remain during your feeding time frame is to take some marketing action to lock those in, whether it's purchasing the feed up front or doing a futures hedge or a forward contract. And interestingly, the feedlots this year, many feedlots are offering producers who will put cattle in their feedlot an opportunity to lock in their feed at the current price level. basically lock in, tie up all the feeds at that level. So, you know, those are, I think you'll see as people deal with that uncertainty, you'll see some changing, kind of changing marketing mechanisms to try to account for that increased uncertainty.
Ed, yes. We've at least in the Northwest, we're told that there's not only a great deal of the crop that was just harvested that hasn't been marketed. We still have a pretty good carryover from the previous year. What do you have? Very specific suggestions for those producers looking forward in terms of marketing concepts?
Well, that's a very hard question, John, and it's a hard one that I would suggest throughout the Corn Belt, not just in the Northwest. Producers are dealing with it. I think I suggested that I'm exasperated, flabbergasted. I don't know what the adjective is to describe my understanding of so many producers, but not just producers, the professional advisors who couldn't get off the stick and suggest that maybe we should get something sold a little early. I mean, I'm just my jaw has dropped. You're asking what is Plan B here? Well, I can offer a little bit of hope in that I would prices are normally higher in the spring than they are at harvest, and I sure hope that's true this year. You also have opportunities in wheat and corn to sell the carry, which is a way of getting a premium over today's price. It doesn't give you any of that upside, but get you a modest amount of premium and a modest return to storage. But I don't have, I'm stealing a bit from Dylan here now. I don't have a silver bullet to solve that problem. That's why I'm such a big proponent of being proactive. I guess I'd rather experience the feeling of being too early and too cheap now and again than that feeling of I didn't get it done, and I don't know what Plan B is.
This is the last question, which I'll ask both Dylan and Ed to answer. Both the livestock industry and grain, over the last two of the 3 years, have experienced some pretty high prices. Unfortunately, in the livestock industry, because grain prices are high, they also experience some very high input costs on the feed side. Of course, grain did on their inputs as well. What kind of those? I think probably this is Nuker's conclusion. Have developed some anew, possibly, and psychological, emotional barrier, which is one of the reasons why we have so much product not sold. So what kind of strategies do we develop in terms of working with producers to kind of get by those really high prices in the past? And I'm going to give Dylan first shot, and then we'll come back to Ed on that question.
I'm not sure I completely understand your question, but I think the first thing that I would tell producers in terms of dealing with current situation is that, you know, I think going forward, historical relationships will be of less value in terms of trying to predict future, and so it'll be more that proactive approach of looking at what's the current situation and what's the best decision I can make going forward given the information I have. And that's where I think, you know, you need to evaluate those alternatives, look at your costs. Neither Ed nor I spent very much time on it, but certainly you've got to know what your own costs are, your cost of production, so that you can evaluate those alternatives. If you know that, and then at times you'll be minimizing a loss going forward, at other times you'll be looking to lock in some profits. But I just think that, you know, it'll be the producers that are evaluating that, knowing when there's an opportunity to market some of their cattle or their hogs or dairy ahead of time. Go ahead and do that. And it doesn't have to be, the grain producers are much better at not doing everything all or nothing. In the livestock, we tend to either forward contract everything or nothing. Certainly, we have some abilities, if you're a large enough producer, to split those sales as well and maybe not put everything in one market basket. So I guess those would be some of my final thoughts.
Ed, how do we get by the exceptionally high prices?
Well, this is a bit of advice, John, I give producers all the time. I tell them, you know, you need a marketing plan. You need to sit down and put something together, thinking about some of the things Dylan mentioned, production costs, looking at your own operation. And I want you to know that what I'm about to suggest is something I was suggesting before $7 corn and before $20 wheat. I was suggesting it 3, 4, 5 years ago. I tell producers every year, as you get ready to plot out the year ahead and what you need to do, the first thing you need to do is, in three little words, you need to forget last year. Forget about it. What you're doing in the year ahead is not based on what you saw or experienced in the last year. I'm not saying that some of the lessons you learned in the last year aren't important, that we shouldn't continue to learn and understand where we could have done better. But when you're making plans for this year, forget about last year. And that's a very tall order for people because, of course, last year, for many producers, it's the freshest year in their memory. Yet we've just got to forget about last year. The only thing I can guarantee producers about the 12 months ahead is that it will not be the 12 months we just experienced. It'll have its own quirks, foibles, challenges, disruptive news, and it'll be different from the year before. I hammer that on virtually every talk I give in the case of marketing. Forget about last year. Now sit down and think about what would you do if you had no idea where things are going.
Thank you both, Ed and Dylan. Very insightful information. A question came in late, which I didn't see. And I guess we've got about 90 seconds, so that would have been a good place to wrap up, but one of our audience asked a question, so I'm going to go back to Dylan. Maybe you can give just a quick answer to this. And what do you anticipate in terms of the traditional seasonal rise in coal calf prices, and what is your outlook for cow prices for the spring?
I saw that question pop up. Essentially, I think we'll probably see a pretty significant decline this fall. How much spring prices will increase will likely depend upon what continues to happen in the dairy industry in terms of their buyouts. If we get, and I know there's some State Department of Ag commissioners that are looking at another program to try to help dairies, if we continue to increase those sales, we may not get as much up in that spring market. If it's not a huge shock to the system, then I would anticipate it. And certainly, given kind of where I think fall prices will be, I think, but budgeted in, but I would look for prices to increase at least, you know, $4 to $5 per hundredweight over what you're likely to see this fall. If that's enough based on your costs, then feed them. If not, you know, probably if you don't want to take that risk, then go ahead and sell them this fall.
Thank you.